Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Okay, I am not S.M. Davis. If you came to hear him preach this morning, I'm sorry. He is in the air right now, finally going to get here from Metro Airport in Detroit sometime in the next half of an hour. It's a long story. I won't take up my time, although maybe I should because I really am not sure what I'm preaching this morning. I'm substituting in my own pulpit this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews in chapter 4. I laid awake last night. Here's what happened briefly. I'm picking him up. I'm supposed to pick him up at the Kinross Airport about 10, 15 after 10 last night. I'm there waiting, and I get a text saying we are turning around. The wheels went down. They were descending. They were coming down to land. Because of fog, they turned around. They went back to Metro. He was trying to get here as quick as he could this morning. He's en route right now, and he is not going to be here in time. He wasn't here for Sunday school, and he's not here for the morning service. Here, I'll make you a promise. He'll be here tonight, all right? And he's a great preacher. He'll help your family. It'll be very beneficial. You make sure you're here tonight at 6 o'clock. And every family has struggles. Every family has baggage. And this is a guy, this is his area, man. This is where he's at. And he'll be a great blessing to you. He's a humble man. Look forward to hearing him here this evening. I want you to know that if you're born again, everything's going to be all right. Amen. If you're born again, you are not alone. Understand that no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens as far as health, no matter what happens as far as finances, everything is going to be all right. Even if everything falls apart as far as relationships, as a child of God, we have a resource. We have a rock. We have a refuge that the world knows nothing about. So I'm going to take just a few moments this morning and preach to you Jesus. I want you to understand this morning that he is all you need. Before I read what I'm going to read, let's all go to Ephesians 6. This thought just occurred to me. And this is how the message is going to go this morning. Ephesians in chapter 6. God, don't allow me to get scattered. God, would you just work in our midst. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Don't stand up. I'm going to have you stand up in a moment. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Understand this. It's a war. It's a battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that'd be easy, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take you on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stand with me, please, for the 18th verse. Everybody standing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I pray you just help me to preach what you want preached. I believe in the middle of the night last night, you told me where to go. And Father, I think I have understanding of that, but there's not a lot of preparation has gone into this. So Lord, Holy Spirit, would you take over this morning? God, would you do in our midst and help me to say exactly what you want said? Help everyone here to understand there's help in the time of crisis. And we are called of God to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a war. It's a battle. We're to put on, I read it, the whole armor of God. We're to be completely prepared, understanding that it is a spiritual battle and not a battle of flesh and blood. We can't back the devil in the corner and beat the fire out of him. That's not how it works. It's far more evil than that and far more wicked than that. And we have a resource, a rock, a refuge in time of need, and it's called prayer. And it's probably the most unused power and unused weapon that the child of God has in the world today. When the devil laughs at our programs, he laughs at our efforts and our little manipulation of the mind, but when the weakest saint of God gets on his knees, that'll turn the devil's face pale. When the weakest saint of God understands, okay, this is a real battle, it's time to go nuclear. It's time to go more than nuclear and go to the throne of God. I have never forgotten this statement by R.A. Torrey. He was the man that followed D.L. Moody in Chicago. And I read this statement that he said. He said, prayer can do anything God can do. God is omnipotent. Therefore, prayer is omnipotent. Let me encourage you this morning. I don't know what it is you have on your plate, what battle you're fighting right now, but if you try to fight it without prayer, you are making the biggest mistake of your Christian life. Some are going through temptations and trials and tests, and I'm telling you, without prayer, you are being set up for failure by the evil one. You must go to the throne of God. In Hebrews in chapter 4, let me start reading with verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Some people hear the gospel and they don't surrender to the truth. And that's sad that it's that way. And it should not be that way, not for the child of God. And I stand before you tonight or this morning as just a regular guy. But mine is a rags to riches story. Mine is a story of a nobody who becomes a child of the King. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus is the one that saved me, and he is that unseen hand that leads me through life. It's Jesus that sustains me after salvation. He meets my every single need. But unfortunately, some of us never look to the shepherd. We never look to God. We never call out in prayer. This is a great passage. Let's go a little further into it. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if ye will hear my voice or hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our perpetual rest. If I could somehow help you to understand, those of you that are searching, how good God is. If somehow I could open the top of your head and pour in who Jesus is so you could understand, you would come running to him with your every problem. I know who I'm preaching to this morning. I'm preaching to some New Testament born-again believers who are living their life without prayer. You've got things, you've got plans, you've got efforts that you're doing, you're trying to accomplish in your life, and yet you're not going to the throne of God. You're not going boldly before the throne of God like we are invited to at the end of this chapter, and you're trying to do it all in your own effort. You're going to get high blood pressure, brother. Man, your hypertension is going to be alive and well in your life, and you're going to live a life of frustration. Because how many things do you plan for don't get done? It's far better to go to God and let God shepherd in your life. Let me read on here. Verse 10 says, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Man, that's beautiful. What a passage of scripture. And I don't have time to develop it. The Sabbath was made for man so that he would rest on the seventh day and give honor to God. Fast forward to the New Testament, and the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our Sabbath. I don't have to labor to somehow get into Christ. That's not how it is. I understand he did all the work on the cross, that the work of the cross is a finished work, that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God afterwards. And then he invites us in this passage, and I don't have time to exegete all of this, but he says, you come to me. You got problems? You come to me. You say, I have no right to go to God. You are right, except you have Jesus, our great high priest, our advocate. Let me read on. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick. It's powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When you look at yourself in the mirror of God's word, when you hear Bible preaching, when it's you and the Bible, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, there's no hiding. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And that's how he grows our faith. Man, I see how I'm living and where I'm failing, and I see how God is leading in my life, and he leads by way of the word of God. And it's quick, it's alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God knows my heart better than I know my heart. God knows my future. He knows where I'm going and what I'm going to face tomorrow and this afternoon. Far better to follow someone who knows what's going on. Isn't that better? That's a better way to go in life. I want to call you to this morning, before I get to the actual text, is a call to arms. It is a call to prayer. Not just putting on the whole armor of God. I'm asking you this morning, when the altar call is given, if you were in Sunday school, you know what I'm talking about. I'm asking you to come and pray on behalf of brother preachers and their wives and others that will be visitors here tomorrow, all day tomorrow, and into the evening service tomorrow night. I'm asking you to bathe tomorrow in prayer, because I'm telling you, the devil is fighting with everything he has against old school gathering. And preachers are talking about it all over the state. And there's a boatload of men and their wives coming and some lay people coming. But it's all just going to be a lot of movement without God's anointing and his unction. And if the devil, who is a spiritual being and a literal being, is fighting against the work of God, it's up to God's people to go to the throne of grace and fight back the evil one by way of the holy warring angels of God, by way of calling upon God and asking for great things. Let's continue to read. Let me read on. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now I love verse 14. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Nothing ever just occurs to God. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, knows what's going on. This is my Father's world. Now, man has cursed it with the sin curse because we rebelled against God, and the devil is at work in this world in which we live, but I'm going to follow the Creator. He's my Savior. He has forgiven me of all my sins, and he offers to lead me in my life if I just go to him. You can have your religion. I'll take Christ. Amen. You can have your high and holy days or whatever it is that you think you're somehow getting God's attention that way. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and it's his righteousness. That's why I can go to the throne of grace. Let's read here verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. He intervenes. Chapter 7 and verse 25. Just turn over a page. Chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It doesn't matter how deep and how dark and how far away that sinner is, because Jesus is interceding on their behalf at the throne of God, they can be born again. All they need to do is come to him. He is here for us. Chapter 9 and verse 24. Look at that. Turn over another page. 24th verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Last two words. For us. He is our great high priest. You don't need an earthly priest. You've got Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor, our great high priest. Go back to chapter 4 again, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, because there's a great battle, because there's a spiritual battle going on and many adversaries. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Number one, he says, hold on. There's no mountain too high, no valley too deep, no crisis too big. We have Jesus. Amen. And he understands. He knows. You say, nobody. This morning when Brian texted me and saying they're admitting me, and they're saying I've got double pneumonia in both lungs, and, you know, COVID pneumonia is what he called it. And he said, they just read me. I just had to sign my death thing and all that kind of thing. And I texted him back as best I could, man. We had a little conversation on the phone, and I said, you are not alone. You have God. Now, we're here for you, but you have God. And he said, thanks. I needed to hear that. You know, the truth is, no matter what the crisis is in life, as a born-again child of God, man, I'm not alone. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. It could be something tragic. It could be something great. But the fact is, the security we have, the resource, the refuge, the rock that we have in Christ. And then he invites us to intimacy. That's what he's saying here in these last couple of verses. He's saying, listen, child, I'm at the throne for you. You come boldly. Let me read verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's a big verse. Amen. That's a mighty big verse. Jesus, every temptation you've ever experienced, Jesus, the God-man, God stepped down from heaven, God's son, and took on the form of man. He knows what that temptation is. He never sinned, but he knows what that temptation is. You say nobody understands. Oh, you're wrong. Jesus understands. And that's what he's telling us. He understands and he knows the battle that you're fighting. And he's been there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God, who is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape. God is there for you. And I know what goes on during the week, and I know how it is, and somebody is being tempted right now, this last week or this coming week. Maybe you're being tempted with immorality. Maybe you're being tempted with drugs or some kind of artificial stimulant, a beer, whatever it might be. Maybe you're being tempted with being a thief and stealing something. Listen, you're being set up, brother. You're being set up by the evil one and your flesh. And you need to run to the great high priest. And he'll help you. You know, the devil's baiting the trap, and he's trying to get you to do wrong. He's trying to get you off the straight and narrow. He's trying to ruin your testimony. Then you need to understand this morning that you have Jesus. You have an advocate. You have a rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God that the world knows nothing about. Look at verse 15 again. For we have not this high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. I want to say it again. He understands. He's been there. He knows what's going on. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Man, there's nothing holy about Tim Rader. There's nothing good about Tim Rader. Say, Pastor Rader, don't say that, man. You've been pastoring here for 41 years, and you know so much Bible. I'm just like you are. I am just like you are. I have no personal righteousness. I strive to be like Jesus. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm in the book, and I have a prayer closet, and I'm trying to do the right things, but I still have flesh. I still have that old Tim Rader. And here's God telling this preacher man down here, you can come to the throne. You can step forward. And it isn't blasphemous. My son's righteousness is on your being. You have every right here because of my son, Jesus Christ. That we have this opportunity, this thing called prayer, and we're not using it the way we ought. A.J. Gordon, a great preacher from a century ago, standing at the Niagara Falls with a missionary, and the missionary says to him, that has to be the greatest unused power in the world today. And I've never seen the Niagara Falls, but I've been to the Tequamanon Falls, and I can imagine how it must thunder and how it almost shake and electricity and all that can be made there with the turbines. But the missionary said, that has to be the greatest unused power in the world today. And Dr. Gordon said, no, sir. The greatest unused power in the world today is prayer. It's the power of God. All the programs in the world. Tomorrow we got a big day planned. A lot of work's gone into it. We put our best foot forward. We've done a lot of cleaning. We've got, the ladies are preparing foods, and it's going to be a wonderful day, and everybody's going to put their Sunday go to meeting clothes on, and we're going to smile. We're going to try to be a blessing to everybody we can, but it's all just going to be wasted motion and wasted money. It costs us between $4,000 and $5,000 to put that day on. but it ministers to the entire state. I'm calling you to prayer. I'm asking you this morning to come to the altar and pray for preachers. You've been praying all week long. You've been asking God to bless old school. I'm calling you to prayer here this morning at the altar. You got things going on in your life, things going on in your family, struggles that no one else knows about it. Jesus knows about it. And all points tempted like as we are. And I'm calling you to prayer to come and ask God for help. Look what he says here in this last verse. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, getting what I don't deserve. It's called the throne, the holy throne of God. In prayer, it's called the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. That's not getting what I do deserve. And find grace to help in time of need. I don't deserve it. I have no right at the throne but for Jesus Christ. You say, oh, God doesn't want to hear my problems. I beg to differ. God wants to hear your little problems, and God wants to hear your big problems. And if you'll ask him for help, he's right there. And he'll help you in those little problems and in those big problems. James said, you have not because you asked not. We're going to get to heaven and find out God wanted to do so much, but we never asked. We hoped. We had a wish list instead of a prayer list. Yeah, I'm glad that happened. I hope that happens. That's not prayer. That is not prayer. We're to go to the throne of grace and ask for help and grace and mercy in time of need. And he'll hear that prayer. The power of God will fall on this place tomorrow if the saints of God will look to heaven and ask him for it. God, the Holy Spirit, will minister in the four walls of your home. And he'll help in whatever problem you're facing if you'll ask God for help this morning. He is able to save them unto the uttermost that call upon him through Jesus Christ. He will save your eternal soul if you'll ask him for salvation this morning. Blesses my heart. I look out and I see all those people that have been saved in the last few weeks, and you're here in church this morning. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And don't let somebody that is sporadic attending church, don't let them wet down that zeal that you have for God and that thirst that you have for God right now. And be here every service you can and grow in grace. And you're helping this preacher. Me just looking out and seeing you this morning and seeing newly born again children of God, babes in Christ, if you will, not knowing a whole lot of Bible yet, man, God's going to use you greatly. Amen. But you got to start praying. You got to start asking for help, and he will do that. How many of you desire God's blessing in your life? Man, how many thirst for righteousness? Wouldn't it be great to have revival in America again? I heard a preacher in Temperance, Michigan on Friday morning and Thursday afternoon. He's from California, good old time fundamentalist Bible preacher. He believes that America is ready and ripe, and God is wanting to send America revival. He travels this country and he preaches everywhere, and he's saying there's churches everywhere right now getting set up for real revival. I want to be involved with that group. I want to be in that number. God will change your home, your family. God will change the church. God will change your personal life. Man, you can walk around and be a stick of spiritual dynamite for God if you just ask. Say, man, I never really thought about that before, preacher. I want God's blessing. I've always wanted God's blessing. Let's do something novel this morning. Let's ask for it, not just hope for it. And here's how you go to the throne. It says it in second to the last verse here. Boldly. Boldly. Why should God care about you? He does. Boldly ask. Whatever it might be. Put on the whole armor of God. And this is a call to arms. And after you've done all, you pray. You stand. But you bathe everything in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. First of all, I want to speak to someone that may be here watching by way of live stream or listening to a radio broadcast, and they're not born again. You need Jesus. Without him, it's all hopeless. You need your sins forgiven. You need to know you have a home in heaven. You say, Pastor, that's my heart this morning. I want to be forgiven of all my sins. I want to be born into the family of God, and I'm not sure I'm saved. And saved is a Bible word. Born again, those are Bible words. Redeemed, that's a Bible word. And let me just summarize it by saying this. It is a no-so salvation. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. What Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, that's enough. And he rose from the dead in victory. And if you'll ask him, he'll save you this morning. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I died right now, I would go to heaven. And I want to know for sure. I want this Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. Would you please pray for me, Pastor? I won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand up. Just raise it up high. Say, pray for me. I don't know I'm saved, and I'd like to be born into the family of God. This isn't a trick. See, man, I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that I'm a child of God. Give me a moment to look all over the auditorium. Raise your hand high. I don't want to miss you. Raise your hand high if you're here and you're not sure you're saved and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior. I assume that everybody here is saved. Now, that doesn't get you off the hook if you've never been born again. Do it right now, from your heart, being sorry for your sins. Call out to the Savior. You can pray just like this. If you're at home watching live stream, wherever you might be, or here in the auditorium, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. God, would you forgive me? Come into my heart, and Jesus, be my Savior. I'm trusting you alone for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that this morning, would you lift your hand up? Say, hey, I prayed today. I prayed. Or look me right in the eye. Say, today I asked Jesus in my heart. I did. I did. If you're at home and you did so, you got to tell somebody about it. If you receive Christ, call our church. Tell somebody near you. Tell someone that you've been born into the family of God. It's a hard thing. How many this morning you'd raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I am born again. I want revival. And I'm not the prayer warrior I ought to be. And I know I just haven't even been praying to God the way I ought. And man, I want to get that right in my life this morning. Just slip your hand up anywhere in the auditorium, all over the auditorium, to the far back, each corner, and everywhere in between. God bless you. Hold your hands up for a moment. Hold them up. God, all these hands that are raised right now. Lord God, would you raise up prayer warriors? May each one of us know what it is to have a prayer closet. And God in heaven, we ask this morning that you just visit this place again, anew and afresh, with great power. Prepare our hearts and prepare our homes and prepare this church for days to come and moments to come. And Lord God, would you bless in a great way, open the windows of heaven even tomorrow, all day long. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many this morning put your hands down? You'd raise your hand and say, Preacher, I've been saved. I've been born again. Never been baptized. I need to get baptized. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Just slip your hand up way up in the air. Say, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've asked Jesus in my heart, and I'd like to get baptized. Just slip your hand up, slip it up, and slip it down. Let's all quietly stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around this morning. It's between you and God. Look this way. Look this way. I love the altar. It's a place of humility. I go to a preacher's meeting, they have an altar call. It's like it's a magnet. You know, I don't get to go to the altar much. You don't know I do, but I do up here. But I mean, I don't get to walk an aisle much, let me say that. I did the end of the week last week when that preacher got up and preached. Said, he's preaching to teachers. This is the conversation that's going on in my heart. Praise God, he's preaching to those teachers. They sure need it. And I'm a pastor. I went to the altar. God is asking us to ask him for great things. And you can make all kinds of excuses to just stay there. And I don't condemn you. If that's where you're going to pray, that's fine. But there's something humiliating about bending the knee. And it's a little bit more serious, I think. Now, if you can't, if you're physically hindered, no problem. But this is a call to prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. God bless this altar call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.